Well, I'm not sure it's an appropriate introduction to my next guest, but it does come from a union background. New South Wales Senator Tim Ayres, our Assistant Minister for Trade and also Assistant Minister for Manufacturing. He is on the line now. Good morning, Tim.
Oh, g'day, Richard. Good to be on the show. I won't sing along with the song.
The late Simon Crean also, like yourself, had a union background. Did you have much to do with Simon Crean, Tim?
I was very sorry to hear that Simon had died. I'd known Simon for 30 years. He was a remarkable person who made an extraordinary contribution to Australia and to the Australian Labor Movement all the way during the Accord. And then as a minister in the Hawke and Keating and Rudd and Gillard governments, there are very few people in our history who can claim to have made the kind of contribution he did. He was a friend of mine. We just had breakfast just a few months ago, it was very sad news. I really send my condolences to Carol and his family and his many, many friends across the labor movement across the country, including Simon made really close friends in the business community, and he did a lot. He did a lot for Australian business and Australian workers. He was leading a delegation when he died of the Europe-Australia Business Council to Europe, promoting Australian business in Europe, fighting hard for jobs and commercial opportunities. He's a really decent bloke, and he'll be really sadly missed.
Yes, indeed. The tribute's coming from all sections and walks of life, which is good to hear. Just on the subject of unions, I noticed, I think it was last week, the Mining and Energy Union decided unanimously to divorce themselves from what was the CFMEU. Does that happen very often? Unions kind of part ways with each other?
No, it doesn't happen very often, but it's an overwhelming, emphatic victory for the leadership of the Mining and Energy Union, who, in the Hunter Valley, all of those mines up the valley are represented by the Mining and Energy Union. They have lodges at every single coal mine in the Hunter Valley and right across Australia. They've made an enormous contribution to our history. Secondly, to the economics, making sure that there are good jobs for mining workers, fighting for permanent work. Pushing back against casualisation and labour hire. That union's played a really strong role and making a really strong contribution to the debate about the economic future of mining and energy regions. So that's a welcome development. That vote, really strong vote, and just shows a really strong determination of that union to chart a future for itself.
13-7, my guest, New South Wales Senator Tim Ayres, Assistant Minister for Trade and also for Manufacturing. Big announcement today, and this is a real plank of Labor's National Rail Manufacturing Plan, and hopefully we'll be building trains here in Australia. Can you tell us a bit about the announcement that you will be making today, Tim?
Well, yes, it's a real opportunity. As you say, in my former role, before I came into the parliament, I was in the Hunter Valley all of the time, in workshops, in workplaces, fighting hard against the decisions of the previous New South Wales Liberal government to offshore rail work overseas. It cost thousands of jobs. It cost hundreds of apprenticeship opportunities and means smashed some of the manufacturing capability in the Hunter. And what did the New South Wales government get? It got trains that ran over budget, that ran over time, that don't fit through tunnels, that don't work across the network, have got quality problems that it's costing a lot of money now to resolve. So I'm delighted to be part of the Albanese government that is going to make sure we've got a national rail strategy that that brings all of this manufacturing back to Australia.
Right. Now, you put together this Rail Industry Innovation Council. You'll be announcing the people today. Look, and a lot of people will say, OK, look, you've just put a whole lot of people on board that are probably going to be remunerated handsomely, and it could just be another talk fest without a great deal in the way of results coming out of it that result in jobs, etc. Your response to that. Is this just going to be another talk fest?
Well, this does three things. Yes, number one, it brings together the leadership of industry, a council of experts who are going to help us deliver this strategy. Secondly, it delivers a national rail advocate on top of the $14 million that the government has committed already to the Office of National Rail Industry Coordination. Jackie Walters will provide real strategic leadership, real nous and real capability to this role. Thirdly, our strategy here is, yes, we've got governments now with the election of the Minns government in New South Wales who are all at a state level committed to Australian manufacturing on rail. Queensland, where I am today, I'm reluctant to concede this in state of origin season, but Queensland has led the way here. A multi-billion dollar commitment to a local rail manufacturing capability have been delivering trains here in Queensland year after year under the Palaszczuk government. What this National Rail Manufacturing Plan does, that Anthony Albanese announced before we went to the election, is it's about coordinating the states to make sure that we get locked in over the decades local rail procurement, and that means that companies can invest in jobs and apprenticeships and industrial capability with confidence into the long term. Secondly, I want to make sure that we build scale across the states so that we build our capacity to not only make passenger rail here, but lift the scale so that we are competitive in terms of freight and mining rail. You know, there are more jobs and more opportunities there. And that we are making the Australian trains of the future, not just being on the end of global design and supply chains, but that we are making trains here that match Australian characteristics.
Right.
That gives us the scale to then be able to export components in a global market. We've got this opportunity, Richard, to build a big rail industry that creates thousands of jobs for tradies, but also apprenticeships and engineering cadetships for the future.
All right, Tim, is there a time frame for this council? Are they just going to sort of, you know, deliberate ad infinitum, or is there a bit of a deadline? They've got to come up with some plans and solutions.
Well, they've got a job to do. I want to see a much more fleshed out strategy by the end of this year. I want to be working with this council and with the new advocate who'll chair the council to drive change by the end of the year. But then we have to have an enduring capability for the Commonwealth to use its convening power,
yep,
you know, our capacity to work across the states in a cooperative way, not the politics, not the slick announcements, but actually the hard work of policy delivery, because this is something that we can hand on to future generations, you know, decades and decades of rail manufacturing.
Well, I think we'd all like to see a lot more manufacturing here in Australia, Tim. Look, but we're short for time, but a few things. You were in China, I think it was in March of this year, and obviously, you know, hopefully lifting more trade restrictions. But we have this dilemma with China. You know, they're our biggest trading partner, but some people are talking about, you know, the fact that they think we'll be at war with China in a number of years. What's the situation at the moment from your point of view?
Well, the government has been working very hard to stabilise the relationship with China. You know, there are some structural differences that we should not shy away from here. But the job, as Anthony Albanese said recently at the Shangri-La Dialogue, a very significant gathering of regional leaders, the job for Australia is to do three things: stabilise the relationship with China, encourage dialogue between the countries of the region, but thirdly, to use all of our statecraft, to use all of our effort to create the kind of region that is in our national interest and is in the region's interest for the future, a region where no country dominates and no country is dominated, where we all as countries of the region have our own sovereignty, you know, our own capacity to shape our own futures. And that means all of the hard work that the government has been doing at prime ministerial level and ministerial level is all about all of that engagement across the region, whether it's in my portfolio, in trade, Penny Wong's work, in Don Farrell as the trade minister's work, is building those connections and that confidence and that engagement across the region to shape the future that's in our interest.
Now, I'll bring back the commitment, you know, that electricity bills and power bills would go down $275 under your government. Well, from the 1st of July, which is on Saturday, electricity prices are going to go through the roof again. Is it going to get worse, or is there a plan to try and bring down the cost of energy, Tim?
Well, this is the government that that put caps on the price of gas. That has put big downward pressure on the price of electricity. Action in the market, working with the states on coal prices. We know that, and we're the only government that has had a plan, an energy plan that's actually been stable and delivered real outcomes here. Now, Russia's illegal war in Ukraine has meant that there's been big pressure on energy prices around the world.
Well, because there's a couple of other things I want to get to, but the reality is from the 1st of July, electricity is going to cost more for us. The other thing that's obviously become an issue for the government is the fact that, in terms of popularity, it seems to be on the slide a bit and down from election time and highs, and also the latest news poll showing the referendum on The Voice is on track to be defeated. Do you think the government's going to have to change tack on the way the whole Voice is being promoted and sold at the moment, Tim?
Well, just let me make the point on electricity, Richard. It is hundreds of dollars cheaper than it would be if the Liberals had got their way. They voted against the reforms that have kept electricity prices down. It is much cheaper than it would have been if Peter Dutton got his way.
Right, but it's going up as of Saturday.
Yeah, but less than it would have been. You know, the price impact would have been, very difficult for families if Peter Dutton had got his way. On the broader questions, you know, the Voice proposal, the referendum, is a very straightforward proposition. There's been a whole lot of Chicken Little campaigning in the Parliament in Canberra from Peter Dutton and his colleagues about this.
Yeah, but you would accept that the Voice is a concept, and it's difficult to actually promote a concept. Would you agree? I mean, everybody seems to accept the fact that we should be enshrining in the Constitution recognition, you know, Indigenous Australians, they've been here for 65,000 years, but the Voice is just a concept, and it's a bit hard to sell.
Well, it's a pretty practical idea.
But it's a concept.
All of these things are. I mean, all of the provisions in the Constitution not fully fleshed out propositions. The defence power, the corporations power, these are references in the Constitution that parliaments amend over time to shape the circumstances as they evolve, and that will be the case with the Voice. Now, everybody knows that if you're making decisions about a particular community, they're much better decisions if that community gets a voice in the process. And Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians haven't had a voice. And this proposal does is build a advisory capability guaranteed that can be amended over time, but it can't just be swept away. It's advisory, so it'll give advice. It'll put the issues together. It'll drive better outcomes, but it's not it's always going to be up to the Parliament what it does with the advice that it's given. That's appropriate. It's absolutely consistent with our tradition of Westminster parliamentary democracy. It'll make a big difference over time. And I think, we've got many, many months until the referendum comes along. the Chicken Little crowd in Canberra have been saying ridiculous things. You know, it's just got sillier and sillier and sillier. I mean, at
right.
4 o'clock
well,
in the morning,
okay.
Tony Cash was claiming that it would have an impact on the development of roads in the Victorian road system. I mean,
right.
It's too silly for words.
Okay.
And people who are saying this are not, you know, they are not fair dinkum.
Okay. Do you think that Peter Dutton, the opposition leader, and Simon Birmingham have been fair dinkum and genuine in their criticism of the latest announcement of aid to Ukraine, $110 million? They're coming out saying too little, too late, and we're giving them sort of second-hand rubbish. Do you think that's a fair criticism?
I think people throwing stones from outside on this, you know, that's not the way that... That those issues should be approached. Australia has been and is a very significant contributor. We are punching well beyond our weight, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contribution to the supply of hard material and defence material for Ukraine's brave struggle against Russia's illegal war of aggression. Australia is making
right.
a very, very strong contribution. Judgments have to be made about, in conjunction with the Ukrainian authorities, about what is the best material.
Right.
That work's been done. And taking cheap shots from the sideline doesn't assist Ukraine, and it doesn't assist what should be beyond politics.
And
really.
Very quickly, because I've got the news in about 30 seconds, the Rabbitohs, I know you're a mad keen fan. You've lost two in a row. Are you going to turn that around?
Well, I don't want to talk about the last couple of weeks in either
All right, good luck this weekend, Tim. I'm going to have to wrap it up, but thank you very much for your time.
Anytime, mate. Catch you shortly.
Good on you. Thank you. Tim Ayres, New South Wales Senator.